just try to be a blessing to him in a little bit with a gift towards it. But Joshua chapter 1. Moses has passed off the scene. Joshua has led the children of Israel over Jordan into Canaan. The hymn writers are mistaken. Crossing Jordan is not dying. Crossing Jordan is living the victorious Christian life, or Canaan land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. The reason that we know that is there were lots of battles even after they crossed Jordan. Now, after we get to heaven, there will be no more battles, but in our Christian life, there are lots of battles that we still have to fight. And look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, and Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. He makes a promise to Joshua. The Lord does, when he says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And imagine that promise. So he says, essentially, you're going to have some battles. You're going to have to do some fighting. And they did, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Jebusites, Mosquito-bites. They had to fight a lot of people when they came into the land here. But the Bible says, and he promises, every place that your foot sets down, I'm going to give you the victory. Imagine that. It's not always easy. But in those battles, God can give us the victory. In Joshua chapter 6, we see the story of them taking Jericho, that great city that had the impenetrable walls. And you know what God did as they marched around? God took the walls down and gave them a great victory. And then we come to chapter 11, if you'll go there. Chapter number 11 and verses 21 and 22. It talks about what they were in battle here. They smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There's not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. So far, so good. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. Let's go to the verses I actually said. Now, on verse 21. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains and from Hebron and from Deborah and from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah and from the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And there was none that the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza and Gath. Here we go, three cities. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. Interesting to me that they were going through cutting a swath. We can read the whole chapter. We just read a couple of sections here. We can read the whole chapter and see how they basically were wiping people out as God told them to, but they left these three places. They left Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. They avoided the battle there for whatever reason, and we don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us why Joshua didn't take these three cities. These three small exceptions here. We know what Rahab said all the way back in Joshua chapter 2. Rahab said that all of the inhabitants of the land, they are faint because of you. People are afraid of you. People see what God's doing through you. And so they could have taken these cities. They could have taken these places, but instead they passed them over. I don't know why. The Bible's not clear. Maybe Joshua thought that it could do no harm, these cities. Maybe he thought that they were no big deal. We'll just leave them and it won't matter. We do that sometimes in our life with unsurrendered areas. We have little areas that we think are all right and we don't fight the battle. We just let it go. Not a big deal. Could do no harm. Maybe it was just because they're tired of fighting. They're fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and all of a sudden they come here, and he was just tired of the fight. And I have found tonight, and you know well if you've been in church any time, if we're going to do anything for God, it's a fight. It's a fight. Ministry. I never dreamed in ministry when I was a young person in college how friends would become enemies and people would turn against each other in our churches. And yet we know if you've been in church any time at all in your life, you see it happen all the time. God's people fighting amongst themselves, the ones that even you will often help and rescue from the depths of sin and sometimes even win to Christ, spend time with, invest in, those very ones can turn around and hurt you. That's the Christian life. That's just what it is. And it's unfortunate, but that's what we find. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This war will take a toll on you, but you have to fight it. Maybe he passed over them because he said, I'm tired of fighting. But we have to fight it. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Maybe he thought we'll tend to him later. We'll get him later. Right now we need to rest. Maybe we'll just take him later on. We'll come back and take care of them. But I want to look at the fact that here, the Israelite army, Joshua and his people, they suffered three defeats here without ever fighting a battle. Because this was a defeat because they didn't take on the battle. And so it was a defeat, really. Say, well, it was a draw. No, let's look at these three cities. Let's look at Gaza, first of all. Gaza is a place where years later Samson slept with a prostitute and lost his power. Now, there's no excuse for Samson. He did wrong. We understand that. There's no excuse for him spitting in the face of his parents like he did. But Samson was a great man, according to Hebrews chapter 11. He was in the hall of faith. And Samson, he was the one that a whole bunch of men took a vow not to eat till they had killed Samson. And so they trapped him in the city. And Samson just took off the gates of the city and carried him up the hill. Every one of those men felt led by the Spirit of God to go on back to their homes and have supper. They didn't worry about killing him after that. He lit the tails of 300 foxes and burned down his enemies. Samson did a lot of great things. He led Israel. But Gaza is a picture of what brings sin into your life. If Gaza had been taken care of back in the day of Joshua, then it wouldn't have been around when Samson came around. So it was a defeat before there was even a battle. The defeat came a little later because Joshua did not stand up and have the fight when it needed to be had. Now, we may think that we can allow sin, a little bit of sin, we can control it, but what sin will do is it will soon control you. One day it will take you down and destroy your life. Joshua left this city standing, and it came back to defeat a man of God later. Gaza. Remember, the next city here we see is Gath. Gath, we talked about that a little bit this morning. Remember where Gath was? There was a family in Gath. They had a boy, a baby boy. He was a big boy, too. And he grew up into an even bigger boy, 10 foot tall. His name was Goliath. And we know what Goliath did, and we know the story of David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David defeated Goliath. But one of the reasons often that you are defeated in your life is that your giant is bigger than your God. And that was the problem with Israel there. And David had his eyes on God. So there was a great victory. But can I say today that if Gath would have been destroyed way back in the day when Joshua should have went after them, there would have been no Goliath to defeat. But he was defeated without even fighting. Gath is a picture of what brings struggle into your life. Brings battles that should have been fought in the first place and aren't will bring so much struggle later on. Finally, we look at the last city named Ashdod. Ashdod was in Exodus chapter 25, they begin to build the Ark of the Covenant. It contained the tables of God that God had written in the Ten Commandments on. That this was the ark, this was the chief token of God's presence. This joy that they got. In fact, wherever the Israelites went, the ark was a symbol of their worship to God. It meant everything to them. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Israelites were getting a whipping by the hand of the Philistines. You'll remember in 1 Samuel 4 verse 5, and when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout that the earth rang again. It was a symbol of their joy. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, we see the story of the Philistines who stole this Ark, the Covenant. And it was a tragedy so much that when Eli heard about it, he fell over dead. Because he was so shocked that it was a tragedy. The Philistines took this Ark of God. They set it next to their god named Dagon. You remember that story? The next morning they came down and Dagon had fallen flat down on his face. How would you like to serve a god you'd have to pick up in the morning? But that's what happened here. And because Joshua did not take care of Ashdod, years later the Philistines came and took the Israelites' joy, took what was a symbolic of their worship. And today, I can tell you that many times because of unfought battles in our life years ago, we lose our joy later on. Sometimes we're defeated today because of battles we didn't fight when they needed to be fought. God put this on my heart today. It wasn't a message I was planning to preach tonight, but God put this on my heart because we're in a battle here at Bible Baptist Church. I can assure you, you may not see them all. You shouldn't see them all. But I can assure you there is a Satan alive and well, and he does not want what's going on in this church right now. He does not want us to build a building out there. He does not want us to win more souls. He does not want us to bring on assistants who could go out and visit more and soul win more and knock on more doors. He doesn't want that. He does not want us to run a bus. He does not want us to get the gospel out in any way. And so our church is moving forward, and as it is, Satan is, and he has pulled out all the stops, and we must be willing to hold the line. We must be willing to fight. We must never lay down in the face of opposition. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." But how many times does Satan turn our spiritual battles into physical ones? Because that is our physical battle. That is our spiritual battle. He uses people. Satan uses flesh and blood. He destroys relationships. He creates agendas. He does everything he can to destroy the work of God. And I'm telling you today, folks, if we're going to win in the end, we have to not lay down today. We have to fight the battles. We got to fight our Ashdods. We got to fight our Gazas. We got to fight our Gaths. We want to be winners in the end. I don't want to be defeated without ever having a fight. And so we're going to fight. We're going to keep going forward. I don't want to lay down. I don't want to stop just because the going gets difficult. And the going is difficult. It is hard. Sometimes it is difficult to know how we get through another week or another day. But we're going to keep on going because our souls around us who are dying, there are people who are perishing. And as Christians battle with one another, lost people go to hell. And I don't want to be a part of that. We're going to take on our Gaths, our Gazas. Every believer will soon learn that the Christian life is a battlefield. We face an enemy much stronger than we are. We need the power of God to stand against Satan because he is the enemy of God. Our battle is not against human beings, folks. Our battle is not against one another. Our battle is against a principality, a power, the prince and power of the air. And as believers, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. But the way that we let ourselves be defeated is if we allow that battle to start to be between us instead of between Satan and us where it belongs. The important point is that our battle is not against people. It's against spiritual powers. We're wasting our time fighting people when we ought to be fighting the devil and his helpers. Christians ought not to fight other Christians. We must endure hardness, the Bible says, as a good soldier of Christ. We're not willing to fight the good fight of faith, then we lie in danger of defeat coming into our life, coming into our church, without us ever having had a fight in the first place. We'll not continue if he's not in it. Amen? And I want to just give a clarion call tonight. We're going forward. Our church is moving forward. We're not going to allow distractions. We're not going to allow Satan to get a foothold to the very best of my ability, and I hope you're with me. Amen. We're not going to allow silly squabblings. We're going to go forward. There are people that need to be saved. There are doors that need to be knocked on. There are tracts that need to be handed out. And all of that is more important than whether or not you like me. Amen? Amen. So let's make it happen. Let's go forward. I would like to do something different tonight. We won't have the piano. But any man that would be willing to join me tonight, just come around tonight, the altar. Let's pray that God stays with our church. Let's pray that as we go forward this year, that we'll continue to see him work. We cannot allow unfought Ashdods, Gazas, and Gaths in our life. We've got to go forward. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these my co-laborers, for the church you've given us to serve in. Lord, we pray that we would put a special focus going forward, that we want to win lost people. We want to grow saved people. We want to edify one another, lift each other up. Help us, Lord, to be willing to fight Satan, who wants to put every kind of a relationship destruction. He wants to destroy everything he can within this church, within this family. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be just ready to fight against it. Help us to lift one another up in prayer. Help us, Lord, to realize our battle is not with one another, but it is with Satan himself. Lord, may we see you do great things through our church. Going forward, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, each one of you. I appreciate it so much. All right. God bless you. Appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you for the challenge there, brother.